Basketball insider Mitch Lawrence, NBA columnist for Sporting News and host on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Good morning, Mitch.
Guys, how are you today? When's the parade?
Well, any day now.
It's got to be warmer weather than this, but yeah. I mean, it's interesting to glance ahead and know in the city. It's like, you remember I said the other day, it's like when you remember when MLB teams would be good, we got permission to print playoff tickets. Now that doesn't mean anything, but I think we have permission to glance at when the NBA Finals begin, which is May 31st. It's been a long time since a Knicks fan could look and glance at when an NBA Finals began.
If you guys can't look ahead to the conference finals at least, or not the NBA finals, then something's going to be really, really wrong, because right now Toronto's at such a different level than everybody else. The East is a disaster when you look at everybody but Toronto. So right now, Raptors, the way they're playing and the way the rest of the East is performing, including LeBron's great Cavaliers, it's not even going to be close.
So is this real? I mean, is that the Cavaliers team we're going to get come playoff time? Or are they just, this is just an aberration and all of a sudden they're going to kick it in and they're going to be the Cavs and LeBron's going to carry them to the promised land again, to the NBA final? Or are there serious problems that can't be overcome with the Cavs?
Well, we talk about carrying. This is going to be the heaviest lifting that LeBron has done because he doesn't have Kyrie Irving. They never replaced him. I thought that would be their downfall anyway going into the year, because I love Kyrie and what he gave them over the last few years. You guys know about that too. And, you know, right now they don't have Kevin Love. And so Kevin Love's going to be their second best player, which obviously means they're not going to be nearly as good. And the rest of the additions, I mean, guys, historically, you never see an NBA champion basically blow up their team at the trade deadline and then all of a sudden, you know, win it. There might be a change or two, but they made so many changes with guys who aren't really that good. I mean, they're role-type players. So it's going to be LeBron and Kevin Love and everybody else, like J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, and I'm just not that impressed with them. And that's why if you're Toronto, this is the year you gotta pounce. If you don't do it this year, you might as well hang it up.
Yeah, the lifting, Mitch, seems similar to the 06-07 Cavs. They're 50-32. Mike Brown coaches them, and the starters with a 22-year-old LeBron are Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, Ilgauskas, and Eric Snow. And you're going, but there just wasn't another team or two in the East, right? The Pistons were starting to get older and had gone to those two finals. Boston wasn't really Boston yet because they hadn't acquired Garnett or Allen. Like, they just didn't have any competition. This would be heavier lifting, not because of their roster per se, as you note, but who they'll have to play. Maybe beating two really good teams, or maybe one of them being excellent here in Toronto.
I tell you what, I mean, right now I take Toronto over Cleveland. I mean, the thing is, though, it's hard. You know, we always say it's like when Michael Jordan played in the 90s. Are you going to pick a team in the East over Michael Jordan in a 7-game series? Who can beat them four times over, you know, an 8 or 9 or 10-day stretch? I think it could happen this year, because I got to think that even with LeBron, Cleveland just doesn't have the goods. Now, in terms of Toronto, you know, I still have some doubts. I have some doubts about do they really have quality shooting there? I mean, quality playoff shooting. I wonder about the big two guys that they have. Are they going to be able to give us game after game of sustained excellence? They've had ups and downs, and of course I'm talking about Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You know, it's great what they've done with their bench, but, you know, young players in the playoffs for the first time, they can wilt. So, I mean, Toronto's going to have questions going in. And really, when I look at it, I put them now in the East. They're fine. I mean, overall, they're probably the third best team. I still put Golden State when they're healthy, and they've got two MVPs and four All-Stars. They're at their own level in the playoffs, and even Houston's below them, probably by a considerable margin, because Houston has never done anything with this team. I think Golden State's got the real leg up on everybody is the fact that Golden State, with this current collection, has won a title. They've got a blueprint. Nobody else does, and that includes the Rockets. And, you know, the Rockets, for all the failings of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in the playoffs, take a look at what Chris Paul and, you know, James Harden have done recently or over the years. Harden's been to one conference finals. He went to a finals with Oklahoma City, but that doesn't count now because he's the leader of the Rockets, and he's not been a great playoff leader, as we saw last year in Game 6 against San Antonio. And Chris Paul, I mean, you talk about a notable playoff achiever. Everybody wants to put Chris Paul among the greatest point guards of all time. Based on his playoff efforts, he doesn't rank, because he's just been awful in terms of getting those teams in the Clipperland beyond the second round. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Chris Paul and James Harden react to the playoff pressures too. But there aren't, you know, there are about three teams right now that can win the title. I don't even know if Cleveland can win the title. Now, I'm pretty sure they can. Even if somehow they get by Toronto, they're not beating Golden State. It's really Golden State's to lose, right?
Mitch Lawrence with us, NBA columnist for Sporting News, a host on Sirius XM Radio. March Madness underway, and the brackets announced yesterday. There was, you know, there's always something, right? Some teams that shouldn't be in, some things that shouldn't, teams that shouldn't be number one. Everyone's upset with Oklahoma. Hell, they only won four of their last 15 games. They're in. Some other teams aren't. Anything stand out to you that you're going, that's not right?
Well, first up, they screwed up the selection show. Because the selection show, they used to have, you know, they unveil the brackets, right? Now they just gave you the teams, so that was bad. I don't know why they changed that. But in terms of a team like Oklahoma, I saw the explanation that they judge the whole season and your wins in, you know, November and December count as much. I can recall, I mean, I can't give you the list of teams, but there is a list of teams a mile long which lost, you know, eight of their last nine that were on the outside looking in previous years. So obviously this is a Trae Young deal. They want Trae Young to be on TV. I don't know how many more eyeballs Trae Young's going to bring to the TV than any other player, especially guys like Ayton and stuff. The interesting thing was that you have Arizona as a number four seed. If you watched Arizona, they should have been a two or a three at the very least. There's some other seeding screw-ups by the, you know, that thing they get wrong occasionally too. You know, when it comes to Syracuse and Oklahoma State and teams like that, who knows? I mean, we'll see if Syracuse can beat Arizona State and if they can win a game or two and roll in there. I have my doubts. But overall, you know what? I don't have a big problem. I think the great thing is it, today is like everybody's an expert about college basketball when we watch hardly any of the regular season because it doesn't count. You know, that's the kind of the weird thing about it. I watch games here and there because I'm kind of more glued to the NBA. And I've watched Trae Young a few times, and I've watched Ayton. I tend to watch the guys who are going to be coming into the NBA, the Marvin Bagleys and those guys. But otherwise, you know, who knows? I mean, all I know now is that Alabama's got that little point guard, what's his name, Colin Sexton, who right now looks to me better than Trae Young, but who knows? But it's going to be exciting. I mean, it's captivating. That never changes. I mean, as much as the regular season really doesn't count in college basketball, now is the greatest time of the year for the sport. And just stepping back, the big picture is I just wish that the college game could be better in terms of having their players stay longer. I don't know what they would need to do, maybe play. But you know what? It's always great when you have a team that's been to the tournament several times and they kind of, you know, they're guys who are juniors and seniors. I know for some players it can't work. They got to go make their money in the NBA fine. But that's what's missing also from college basketball because you just, you know, these teams come in, they have no experience, and players play 1 year, and it's just a different world.
Mitch Lawrence, our guest, I think several things on that, and one is it's the thing that college football is insulated from, right? They never have to worry about a one-and-done. You know, Maurice Claret, you know, Mike Williams tested that, but it's a real struggle. So you see a program build, and you're like, this is the year, and there's peaks and valleys, and with players leaving for the NBA, and I don't want to stop them either, but you're right about you could develop a love or a hate for a Duke team that had Leitner and the Two Hills grow together and Bobby Hurley or watching the Fabs, you know, get into a second season after their freshman year. All those guys would, three of those guys would have left after 1 year. Howard, Weber, and Rose would have all gone to the NBA if they'd been able to then.
Absolutely. And the thing about football everybody has to remember is that, you know, play guys who are 18, 19 years old, they physically can't go into the NFL. I mean, they got to mature physically. I mean, you've had players over the decades, and we'll go back to guys like Jimmy Brown, who he probably could have played in the NFL after high school. You know, he played at Syracuse, 4 years? But physically, he was already developed as a man. You're 18, 19 years old, and you want to play football in the NFL? That's almost impossible. There's probably, you know, a guy here or there now and then. But, yeah, I mean, that's the problem I have with colleges. I don't know how they're going to solve it. I mean, because then you get into the whole debate about paying players and how much do you pay them. Do you play the non-revenue, you know, you're going to play the women field hockey players. You're going to play other women's sports. You're going to play the men's sports where you don't draw any fans. It's a hard thing. It's just kind of, I don't think it's ruining college basketball because obviously they make there's a ton of money that they get from TV, but it just is, it's different. And this year, like, you have no idea. And one other thought that I have is that now when a player is a junior or senior in the college level, you know he's there because he can't play in the NBA. That's basically the rule. If they were any good and they were NBA worthy, they're gone.
There's a stigma, which is unfortunate.
Second year at the latest.
Yeah.
Right now, if you have a senior playing for a team, you just know that, you know what, the guy's not going to make it in the NBA.